almost said did it. It's been years. I almost said, how are y'all doing? Which I know you're not supposed to do in a public setting like this, because how do you answer that? I'm doing well. Who could ask for a better December 23rd, right? Is this not? I know some of you dream of a white Christmas. I dream of a warm Christmas. And in Nebraska, if you can go running outside in shorts the 2 days before Christmas, that's a bit of a Christmas miracle. So anyway, nothing to do with the sermon, just I'm happy. Why don't we pray and then we will read our Bibles. God, thank you for being good and kind and loving. And thank you for moments when we could come together and remember the cross and remember Jesus. Thank you for moments like this when we could open your word together and read, be reminded of the gospel, the good news of life in you. God, as I pray that as we read this morning, that you, through your Spirit, would magnify Christ and lift him up and help us to see him again and love him more deeply. In his name we pray. Amen. All right. You know that that feeling of anticipation that you start feeling when you're watching a movie or reading a book? I used to get it with the Hardy Boys, right? Long time ago. You're watching or a show or something, it gets intense and you know something's going to happen and you've read books before, you've seen shows, you know what's going to happen, you know they're going to jump out, they're going to grab the person, they're going to, you know, guns and dinosaurs, or you see the water jiggling in the cup, you know, and you know there was a dinosaur on the cover of the movie. You know what's going to happen, but there's that anticipation that just builds. You guys feel that too when you're watching or reading and you feel that and you do you close your eyes ever? Grab your wife's hand really tight. She's like, Philip, breaking the bones. I wish that part was made up. Sometimes I just turn it off. Like if I'm watching something by myself and it's like I just can't deal with it. I come back later because just too much. So we've been looking over the past several, actually 52 weeks. So that's been a long, this is 53. So it's been a minute. We've been looking at some of the big stories in the story, the stories in God's story. So some of the big, the names, the notable names that you would recognize, David and Noah and Adam and Abel and the big stuff, the story, the Sunday school stories, the stuff you see, look at in Sunday school. And what we've been looking at, and there's been an anticipation building because in every single story, every single week, we've landed at Jesus. Every story has pointed us towards Jesus. We know something's coming. Jesus is in all of the stories that we've been looking at, and we know there's more to this. We're building up to something. We know what's coming. The water is, you know, jiggling in the cup, and there's the footprint of the dinosaur, and we know that something is around the corner. We know it because, well, even Jesus said, look at Luke chapter 24. Verse 27. This is after he's risen from the dead. We're going to read several verses today, so I'm going to cheat and read out of my notes, which is why you won't see my Bible flipping, but Luke 24, verse 27. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he, this is Jesus, interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He's in all of them. He's in all of those stories. The pre-Jesus stories were actually stories and narratives about him. Look at John chapter 5, verse 39. All the stories pointed forward to Jesus. John 5, 39, you search the scriptures. He's talking to the religious leaders. This is before his death. You search the scriptures. So their scriptures was everything pre-Matthew, right? That was the, so you search what we would call the Old Testament. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me. The Bible, the Old Testament scriptures are about Jesus. They're pointing forward to him. We've seen it every week. We've seen Jesus in every single story that we've seen so far. And we're not done with them. There's more to come. So we're kind of jumping ahead. That's what my dad would do it was frustrating when I was a kid. I would get a book and we were going to read it together. My dad would start at the beginning, read the first chapter or two. And then this was like the worst sin it's not a sin in the Bible, but it felt like a sin. He would jump to the end and read the last few pages. Oh, you can't do that. we're kind of doing that today, but we know how the story ends, so we're going to jump ahead to the high point of the story, to the point that everything is pointing to. And next week we'll go backwards and we'll look at some of the other stories. There's some good ones that we haven't looked at yet, but we're going to look at the end of the story. And the big idea from all the stories we've been looking at, and especially for us today, is this. When Jesus came, it was the fulfillment of all of the stories. It was a fulfillment of everything. It was a fulfillment of God's story. And it was a fulfillment of all of the individual stories that had come before. The coming of Jesus was the fulfillment of everything. Everything was pointing towards that. And he came and he fulfilled. Hey, look at Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Whenever I read something that the Apostle Paul wrote, I always feel like I'm jumping in the middle of a conversation, because you kind of are. His letters seem to be just like a big run-on sentence, and so it's going to feel like we're jumping in the middle. We are. Read the rest of the context in a family devotion together, but here's chapter 4, verse 4. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those that were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. If a son, then an heir through God. When the fullness of time had come, the fulfillment of the story happened when Jesus came. And we knew from the beginning, right? From Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, when God told the serpent, there will come one from the woman who will crush your head. You'll strike his heel, he'll crush your head. The first prophecy of Jesus. We knew from the beginning that God would send a rescuer from heaven to rescue us, to save us. A rescuer who would come so that we could become God's children. And all of creation for all of time had been waiting for this moment. And so when it happened, it was the most emotional, the high point, the climax of the story. Every part of the story, when Jesus came was full of intensity. It was full of glory. It was full of emotion, because this was the moment. This was what everything was leading up to. The score was riveting up, and everything was. Look at Luke chapter 2. Even the announcement of Jesus' birth to shepherds in the field. So you think those two things together, maybe a card, maybe an email, maybe a text, maybe. No, angels, heaven broke open, angels, and listen to their words. Every part of Jesus coming, the fulfillment of this story was full of intensity, was full of emotion. Luke chapter 2, verse 8, and in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Glory to God in the highest. Angels singing. Why? Because the moment had arrived. The moment that all history had been waiting for, that everything had been pointing to, it was here. It was here. It was now. It was happening in this moment. We see this same kind of intensity, the same kind of glory, the same kind of reaction, this worship in the reaction of, look a little farther in Luke, when Jesus' parents take him to the temple to present him. In Luke chapter 2, verse 25, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And so he knew, I'm not going to die until I see the one that's been promised for all of these years and all these generations before me. I'm going to get to see him. And when he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God, saying, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all people a light for revelation to the Gentiles, for glory to your people Israel. This is the Son of God, the promised Redeemer, the fulfillment of the entire story. That's the big idea, that when Jesus came, it was the fulfillment of everything. Everything was pointing to that moment. And you say, well, why? Why was that the high point of the story? Because that happened 2,000 years ago. Why was that the big moment of the story? There's still more story happening. Our story, the important part of the story, right? There's stuff happening after that. Why was that the climax of God's story? Why was everything pointing to that? Well, one, the reason why that was the climax of the story was because of that reason, because everything was pointing to Jesus. Everything before him was not pointing to you and I. It was not even pointing to after. It was pointing to Christ. It was pointing to God's Son coming, to the kingdom of God being at hand. Everything before Jesus was a shadow, was an imperfect shadow pointing towards the perfect and the better and the perfect that would come. And so Jesus comes and he is the better and the perfect of everything that came before him, of everyone who came before him. He's the better and the perfect Adam, the Son of God, who it chose to obey his Father fully and not rebel against him. He's the better and perfect Abel. My notes, I wrote Abe. That's coming in a minute. He's the better and perfect Abel, the son who was killed by his brothers and through his death would give a perfect sacrifice to God. He's the better and perfect Noah who would save the world from destruction that was brought on by rebellion. He's the better and perfect Abraham. Through him, God would bring forth his chosen people and bless the entire world. He's the better and perfect Isaac, the son of the promise, who permitted his father to bind him to wood on a mountain and sacrifice him. He's the better and perfect Joseph, the beloved son who fled from temptation, and who was sent before his brothers, suffered at their hands, and saved his entire family, saved all of God's children. He's the better and perfect Moses, the prince who left the heavenly palace and all of its comfort. He's the true and better Lamb who was sacrificed to free God's children from death. He's the true and better Word of God, like the tablets that were brought down the mountain. He's a true and better rock that brought forth water in the desert and truly satisfies our thirst. He's a true and better manna. He's the bread of life that came down from heaven and fills us. He's a true and better priest who intercedes before us, before God. He's a true and better judge who guides the people of God. He's a true and better sacrifice offered once for all time to take away sin and to take away condemnation, to take away the guilt. He's a true and better David who truly conquered the true giants of Satan, sin, and death. He's a true and better king who rules and reigns over God's people forever. He's the one that all of history was pointing to. He's the one who saw all of history was pointing to, because he was the true and better, because he was God with us. Look at the announcement of his birth when the angel came to Joseph, who would be his father, and look at what he said to him. This is the reason why Jesus was not only the fulfillment of everything, but also was the true and better of everything that came before him. In Matthew 1, verse 18, it says, "Now the birth of Christ Jesus took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." That's why Jesus was the fulfillment and the true and better of everything who came before him, because he was God with us. All the heroes that came before were imperfect pointers to the one God who would come as a man. He would be the promised Redeemer. He would be Emmanuel, God with us. And he's not just the fulfillment of all of the story, of all of this. He's not just, oh, have that set up. He's not the fulfillment of all of this. He's not only the fulfillment of this. He's not just the fulfillment of all of God's story. He's also the fulfillment and can be the fulfillment of our personal story. He can fulfill our personal story because all of us, just like the world around us, just like the world from Eden on, we live in brokenness. We live in unhappiness. We live in imperfection. We live in search of approval and identity and who am I and who will love me and how can I be happy? We live under a cloud of condemnation, and Jesus comes and he can fulfill and complete our story also. In the moment when we come to him and we give ourselves to him and we repent and are baptized and we decide to follow him, he becomes not just the true and the better and the perfect Adam and in the story, he becomes our better and perfect. He becomes our better and perfect brother who's offered in sacrifice for me. He becomes my perfect and better lamb that was sacrificed to free me from death. He becomes my perfect and better word of God that connects me with the Father. He becomes my perfect and better water and bread that satisfies me truly like nothing else can. He becomes my perfect and better priest that intercedes before the Father for his brothers. He becomes my king. He becomes your king who governs and leads us in love as we are part of God's family. And that is the true message of Christmas. That's what the message of Christmas is. It's the story reached its climax. Everything was pointing to this, and now this can also be the thing that resolves my story and your story. He came to give us everything. One more verse. Look at John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. He came so that we could be children of God, have an identity as children, the beloved children of the Father. He came so that we could have eternal happiness, all the riches of heaven. He came so that we could be forgiven of our rebellion. He came so that we could be loved and approved by the King of the universe as his children. So what do we do with that? What's the application? Where do we go? Well, this Christmas, as every Christmas, as every day, but we're at this Christmas. So this Christmas, this story is an invitation. It's an invitation to each one of us. It's an invitation that if you've never received the one who is the fulfillment of the ages and the one who can be the fulfillment and the completion of your personal story, you can receive him. Because you only he only becomes your better and your perfect everything if you receive him. You only receive everything from him if you give yourself to him. When you come to him and you decide to give him your life and your heart and you decide to follow him by giving him your will and you decide to do that by sealing it, by repenting and being baptized, and you make that decision, when you do, you receive the best gift that you could ever receive. You become God's child. You become filled with his Spirit. He makes you a new person. That is incredible. That's incredible. You become part of God's family. If you've never made that decision before, now as always, there's an invitation to you. You can become God's child. You can come to him. You can repent and be baptized. Tell one of us when you're ready to make that decision, you can do that. And if you've received him, if you have this gift, if you hear this and you say, yeah, I know he can be the fulfillment of everyone's story because he's completed my story. He's connected me with God. He's given me the Holy Spirit. I'm a new person. I made my decision to follow him. I remember the day. I remember when I came out of the water. I have him. Listen, everything we've seen today is the gospel. And you and I are at a moment that's a really neat moment. Every year it happens. Most of us are going to see people and spend significant time with people. Maybe it's already started for you. Over the next couple of weeks, you're going to be in contact with people. You're going to be with people. You're going to sit next to people. You're going to eat and drink with people who, for the rest of the year, you know, you might send an email to or, you know, like something on Facebook, but you're going to have FaceTime, like real, like not phone. You're going to have like actual be in front of people. And I am too, who we're going to have opportunities to speak the gospel if that's what we want. That's one of those desires of our hearts that God gives us when we ask him. So I would challenge you to do this. As you're on your way to whatever Christmas festivities you're on your way to, or New Year's, or when you're going to be with people over the next couple of weeks, in the car on the way, say, God, would you give me an opportunity to speak the gospel? And then don't force it. Don't feel like I gotta talk to somebody, or else this whole thing is a failure and I'm bad and I'm a bad Christian. No, just speak. When God opens doors, speak in friendship, speak in love, enter into other people's stories. Let them talk more than you talk. And then as they talk and as you talk with them, maybe the Spirit will open up a door where you'll be able to speak the gospel to someone. You'll be able to speak about how you have found peace with God through Jesus and how they can too. Have your eyes open for that. Ask God for that, because this is a special time of year when we get a lot of face time with people we normally don't. That would be my application for you and I. Why don't we stand? We'll pray together, and then we'll sing. God, we thank you. We thank you so much that you've given us your Son. You've given us this whole collection of stories of all time, of your connecting your story together, and you've shown us how he's in all of them, and they're all about him, and he's glorious, and he's beautiful, and he's majestic, and for many of us, he's our God. God, I pray right now for those who have never made the decision to give themselves to you. I ask God that your Spirit would move in their hearts. You would draw them to you. You would take off the veil from the heart, and that you would help them see the glory and the beauty, the magnificence and the treasure that is Jesus. And that you would move them to the moment where they would say, I have to do that. I have to give myself to him. I'm going to repent and be baptized. For those of us who have received you, I pray that you would make us thankful once again, and overwhelmed with how incredible that is. Pray, God, for all of us, and together we ask that you would give us moments over the next week where we could speak the gospel. Speak the gospel to people we may not be able to speak to again for another year. You would open up doors, that your Spirit would move, and that you would let us be witnesses for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.